What is going on, everybody? This is Party Card Sports back again with another off-season breakdown. What's going on, Nate?
Not a whole lot. But even though there's not a lot going on, there's still a lot going on. Last weekend, we got to watch a pretty lackluster conclusion of both the men's and women's NCAA championships. We'll get into that here shortly. We got the Masters going on right now. NFL, still some off-season shakeups. Not a lot of news coming on as we're about a week and a half away from the draft. The way there's a lot of rumors, I do think that this draft, there's going to be a lot of trades during the draft. And not just trades for picks, but I think there's going to be some players moving on draft night. So I think there's going to be some drama. There's going to be some fireworks during the draft, and we'll get into that too. We'll get into that in a bit. But let's start with the NCAA championships.
We called it.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, yes, I was going for UNC or South Carolina, wrong one. I was going for South Carolina against Purdue. And well, turns out EB's pretty fucking good. But when you're 7'4", it's kind of hard to be bad, I guess.
Unless you're playing the national championship game.
I mean, he didn't play bad. He still had 37 points, but when you're 7'4", 300 pounds, and you rested, I think it was like a total of 2 minutes of play time, of in-game time from the Sweet 16 to the championship, that's a lot of fucking abuse. And I kind of saw it late in that second half against UConn that EB just was Edie was just not getting up and down the floor as quick. He was gassed. He was getting lazy with his feet, and he just didn't have the same kind of explosiveness to kind of help the ball towards the basket with his hook shot. At no, I take that back. There was a little bit of fear, a little bit of doubt that UConn probably was going to have problems when Donovan Clingan and Samson Johnson both got three fouls. They're two big guys. When that happened, I was like, fuck. They're just going to feed Edie the ball. But the refs, for as many fouls as that was called, they let the boys play. Pretty rough, pretty aggressive. I watched the replay of the game, and as I'm watching the replay of the game, I get on our Facebook page and put into a group. I forget what group I put it in. I was like, man, I'm seeing more contact in the NCAA championship than we'll see all NFL season.
Yeah, I saw that post. It was stupid.
Hey, it got some likes, okay? And I think it was 100% true.
The game went basically how I thought it was going to go. Purdue can't hang when it comes to scoring with an elite offense. That's why originally we thought Bama or UConn was, no matter what, going to finish out the season with the W. UConn beat Bama pretty handily in the second half, and Purdue just was the casualty at the end.
Well, I just think it's not so much that Purdue can't score. It's just that they didn't score this night. So they were averaging 8 three-pointers a game throughout the tournament. They were 1-for-7 against UConn. UConn was 6-for-22. They only won by 15 points. One three-point made by Purdue, 6 by UConn. There's your 15 points right there.
That's great. That's great statistic. I mean, but either way, they're outmanned, outmatched. Purdue never had a chance.
Well, here's the thing is that neither team shot the ball very well. Purdue shot 44% from the field. UConn only shot 48.
Yeah, you can consider this probably UConn's worst game in the entire finals.
I think so. But when they weren't shooting the ball good, they just went inside. Even against EB, they just still went inside, found a way, used their athleticism and speed with Sampson, and God, who else did they use? Because Clingan didn't use a lot of speed, but he definitely did use a little bit more physicality, I think. Watching him just kind of lean on EB in the first 10 minutes, I mean, he's just leaning on him. I'm like, fuck, dude, this is awesome. Like, that's the kind of basketball I like to watch. Is that they're actually letting them play. They're actually letting him create contact. It's a non-contact game. My ass. Let the boys play. What?
What Nate said.
What I said. Okay.
It's supposed to be some contact.
I think so. But, I mean, they just won in every facet of the game. Total rebounds, UConn won, 37-31. Offensive rebounds, they out-read them on the offensive side. They did not out-rebound them on... Oh, no, they did out-rebound them on the defense side. Had more assists, had more blocks, had the same amount of steals, had less turnovers. Wanted they had more fouls. They did. And I think it showed.
I still personally think that NC State versus UConn would have been a much more
I don't think so.
Climactic ending to the whole tournament.
Only because Cinderella's in the big dance.
Exactly.
But I think it would have been the best
matchup would have been Bama NC State, and we just kind of got the two worst teams, but it's okay.
I don't even think it would have been. I really don't think Bama NC State would have been a good game. I think Bama would have ran them fucking dry, and it would have been boring as fuck.
Either way, UConn deserves it. The two-peat doesn't really happen that often in college basketball unless you're back in like the 70s and 60s. So pretty cool for them. Now, on the other side of college sports in the women's national championship, we had an okay game, a pretty good game.
I mean, South Carolina just absolutely won with their size.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, that was the only difference. I mean, Caitlin Clark couldn't have done anything different. She went off for 30 points still. Yeah,
there's not much. She would have had to score 40.
And, I mean, South Carolina just used their size all game. They were more physical.
Yeah, it's...
It really was just a... You talk about a drawn-out game. That game was drawn out because South Carolina, the Cocks,
yeah,
the Gamecocks, they didn't do anything flashy, just straight to the paint, was physical, and it was kind of a boring game. Caitlin Clark tried to make it exciting, just trying to rain some threes, but it just was not going to happen.
It's just hard, like, even though she is, like, I'll say the best shooter, I'm not going to comment on, like, her defense or anything. When you're, like, the best shooter and then, like, your team around you isn't as good. I'm not saying nothing bad about our teammates. I think like, some of them are pretty good. Like, Gabby Marshall's pretty good. But, like, man, when you have this goal, she was averaging 32 points a game in this tournament. And if you have to do that night in and night out and no one's picking up your slack at the same time, it's kind of hard. Like, ask Curry how hard it was to get Davison as far as he did. You know what I mean?
Hey, he did it, though.
He didn't win national championship either.
That's true. But check this out. This is how you know South Carolina just tired this team out of Iowa. Total rebounds. 29 rebounds for Iowa. 51 versus South Carolina. Absolutely just being physical and handled all game.
I know we didn't talk about the women's side much, but like... If you just look at the size difference between South Carolina's team and Iowa, they were so short compared to them. It's not even fair.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, and the only way that they could have won is if Caitlin Clark would have had a repeat of the LSU game and scored like 42.
Yeah. When you start four guards and...
Rough.
Yeah, and they're starting three guards, a center and a forward... And their guards are still almost 6 foot. If I believe they actually all are still 6 foot.
If you notice also, Iowa does not have a center listed.
Yeah.
They only have forwards. So that tells you something. Well, I mean, there's a reason why the Gamecocks were 39-0.
Weak competition.
Oh, damn.
I want to know. I don't watch women's basketball.
I'll say this. I'll say this for Iowa's side. Iowa definitely had the harder road to get to the final.
Oh yeah,
I mean, Iowa had to play freaking LSU. Let's start at the Elite Eight. LSU,
yeah, UConn, they're pretty good.
You're talking about
they're also pretty good.
Actual names that people know, you know,
like UConn was like back to back national champions.
Yeah. And then they had to play South Carolina to end it. South Carolina only had to play... Where are they at here? Oregon State, Meh.
Meh.
NC State. Meh. And then Iowa. What the hell?
Then meh.
Well.
But like I said, I just...
The one cool thing...
South Carolina is the largest team in the women's field, though.
The one cool for thing size. For this is the women's national championship game got 18.9 million viewers.
Good for them.
Which is like six... I think it was 6 or 7 million more...
Take that, than the WNBA.
Than the men's... Oh, also, yeah, let me talk about this for a second. I've been posting, cause ever since the LSU game, I just been like, or in the UConn game too, I just been like scrolling through TikTok and stuff with our TikTok account, and I've been just leaving comments, because these women from the WNBA are the most saltiest fucking women I've ever heard of in my entire life. You know when they say like women don't cheer for each other? That is so fucking true. Like, bros will at least cheer for their bros to win shit. Dude, these WNBA women are out here just begging for Caitlin Clark to lose. I bet all of them were partying when they ended up losing to the Gamecocks because yeah. They're like, oh, good. She doesn't get an NCAA championship. One of the women that said, is Caitlin Clark considered one of the greatest college basketball players of all time? And she goes, no, she never won a championship. Did you get 18 million people to watch your final? No. In fact,
that's the truth.
In fact, I'm pretty sure no other woman has gotten that many people to actually watch now, women's basketball.
I guess you could make the hard justification that the vast majority of that 18 million was there to watch Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I will. Okay. Let's just say she added double, right?
She was half of the
yeah.
of the 18 million. That's personally herself.
9 million fucking people tuned in to watch just her.
So
anyway, let me just finish this thought. I see all these stuff about women out there and they're just like so happy that she's doing bad or whatever. I'm just like, what is wrong with you people? She's the one that's going to bring viewership to your sport. If anything, you should be cheering her on.
That's not going to happen.
Well, no. I don't even know if she's going to go to the WNBA.
I saw that Ice Cube invited her to Big Three.
Ice Cube invited her to Big Three and said, we will work around your schedule in the WNBA so you can still come play our games while playing your games in the WNBA.
That's cool. I didn't read because that much. I just saw the headline that
you want to know why. You want to know why? Because Ice Cube understands that viewership, what they want to see, and the WNBA don't get it.
Look, I don't really follow women's basketball.
Well, we don't follow
other than Caitlin Clark. I knew absolutely nobody in that game.
We don't follow it because let's be honest, WNBA is boring.
Women's basketball in general is just boring.
I mean, yeah, in the last and 2 years.
I'm even going to say pro basketball in general is boring, period.
No, the NBA is still exciting. No defense.
So it's not exciting.
It's still exciting. They should bring back hand-checking.
When there's 200 points scored in the fucking All-Star game, it's a fucking joke.
200 points apiece.
Yeah. It's a fucking
That's
joke.
An all-star game. That doesn't happen in the fucking real games.
So if we got time, I want to bring something up at the end of the show that I was kind of thinking about when we talked about NCAA March Madness and NBA in regards to other sports and their championships. But we'll get into that later if we have time. Let's move on to the Masters. You know, we don't talk a lot about golf because we're not huge golf followers, but it's a fucking Masters. How are we not going to talk about this?
We're not huge golf professional followers, but we both golf.
Yeah, we try.
I attempt. Nate tries.
I'm taking lessons. I'm getting better.
And I'm just trying to hit the ball.
That's what I told my swing coach. I was like, I play with a wide range of players, all the way from scratch golfers to guys that they're just happy to be out there and make it through 18 holes and make it back to their car.
I wouldn't say I have any trouble ever making it 18 holes.
There's been a couple times where I didn't think we were going to make it. Like that one time?
Because Wait a minute. Time out. Were you talking about because...
The fireball?
Oh, that's different. That's different. That's not golfing ability. That is drinking ability.
Oh, I pretty much got that part figured out.
Exactly.
I'm well trained.
Yeah. 100. I'd say 50. I would say 20-80 on golfing at any given shot. I would say 100-0 on drinking ability, which means I am 100% good to bad ratio.
So back to the actual Masters.
How many shots do you think these guys took before going out and around?
Probably
zero.
Out of everybody in the field, I bet there was a handful of shots. And I do mean just a hand. I bet a couple of these guys probably got the boost. Especially, I guarantee you, Tiger had something playing, what, 23 holes today or some shit because of the rain delay?
He had to play an extra 5 in the morning and then off his 18.
Yeah. So.
He probably had a shot of penicillin or something.
Penicillin don't do shit for pain?
I wasn't talking about for pain.
Oh, wow. He's too old for that. He ain't got the drip no more. He's naturally immune. He's been down that road too many times. But, I mean, golf is one of those things that it really doesn't matter what you did last year, especially at the same course, just because golf is an ever-changing game, I feel like. Just like with almost any individual sport or any sport that the equipment makes the player in some cases.
I wouldn't say the equipment makes the player in golf.
It definitely does. It definitely helps. It definitely doesn't hurt to have the right equipment.
Why
do you think they want to roll back the golf ball?
Because
they hit it too fucking far.
I would say that maybe at our level, the equipment definitely makes the golfer. But like at their level, they're so good, you could hand them clubs that are fucking 50 years old and they'll be just as good.
No, because they can't hit it as far. Some of these courses play a lot longer.
This course doesn't play that long.
This course, no, the Masters doesn't play. It's just super tight, and the rough is rough. And this year, the wind is blowing so hard, the fucking balls are flying off the green after they come to rest, which makes no sense. Newton's second law. An object at rest wants to stay at rest, my ass. I watched that ball sit there for 3 seconds, and the wind said, get fucked, and it rolled right off the green.
So, I would say a lot of players on the first day got pretty lucky. They missed out on a lot of the win, like players like Bryson DeChambeau, which is tied for first right now, got extremely lucky because he missed the win in the first day. Today he had to play in the win, and he got an even score.
And he shot one big.
Oh, did he? Is par 72? It is 72. So he shot one big today, and so that's. That's saying something. Alex Homa coming out of nowhere is tied for first. And then obviously the actual favorite is Scott.
Who the fuck is Alex Homa? You mean Max Homa?
Is it Max?
Yeah, Max Homa.
What did I come up with Alex?
Yeah, that's you had me confused. Yeah,
Max I don't know. Homa. And then obviously the favorite of the entire year, basically, so far, Scotty Scheffler.
Like this guy came out. I won't say he came Scheffler. Out of nowhere, but.
He didn't come out of nowhere.
But I mean, all of a sudden, like, it's just constantly just. Bam, bam, bam. He's in the mix in a lot of these tournaments.
In every tournament this year so far, he's been crazy.
But this goes back to the thing that it doesn't matter what you did last year, because John Rahm is absolutely shit in the bed. I mean, he went from the dog, number one player in the world, to he barely made the cut.
Yeah.
He made the cut by one stroke.
Rough. Rough. Yeah, I mean, you see a lot of players like that, too. Like... He said John Rahm's down there. Jason Day. McIlroy rough. Who else was that guy that was doing great last year? And
Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah, that's it.
Cantlay.
Yeah, that's it. Cantlay's down there too.
Koepka.
Freaking. Yeah, dude. It's rough. Rough for all them guys. But my boy, Tiger Woods, is still in the hunt.
I'm sorry, man. You just wasted money.
I didn't waste money.
You wasted
money. Watch Tiger hit freaking like minus eight tomorrow. Like, just freaking dime it up.
Was there, could you like at least put like he was going to place in the top 10 instead of just,
yeah, no, he's going to win? What's the fun in that? What's the fun in betting top 10 when it comes to Woods? Either it's win or bust.
Wrong.
The fact that he made the cut has increased my chances exponentially for him coming back and winning this tournament.
I don't, dude, he's, what is he at? One big for the tournament?
One big.
So he's seven. He's seven back.
You give me one good round, I'll take seven. Seven is nothing for this man.
He needs one good round and Bryson, Scheffler, and Homa to shit the fucking bed.
Here's the thing about.
And I don't think Scheffler's going to shit about the bed. Bryson could.
Here's the thing about DeChambeau. Homeboy has only been playing 54 holes
in a league
every how many ever weeks. He doesn't know what it's like to shoot 72 holes in a weekend anymore.
Hey, he's
going to fall off.
He does a lot of YouTube golf. He golfs a lot.
Now, Scotty, on the other hand, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's going to be a rough one to catch.
Scheffler's not going to
fall. Homa had a good day.
He had a good day.
And yesterday.
And today. Oh. Yeah, today.
But he's not going to keep that up.
He shot the third best round.
He's not going to keep that up. It's not going to happen. So, Woods only needs like a minus six or seven. So then, because I'm telling you right now.
Come on, meow.
If he's only a couple shots back and he puts on his Sunday Reds, there's blood in the water.
Dude, the last time he was in a Sunday...
He'd be sniffing it.
The last time he got in a Sunday Red, he made it through like three holes and walked off the course.
Did you hear that?
Yeah,
it sounded like... That's a shark. That's a tiger shark smelling blood in the water.
I thought he had like the sniffles trying to do a line of cocaine off the toilet in the bathroom.
If he did some cocaine in the toilet or the bathroom, I bet his score would get better.
I bet he can hit the ball 300 yards
again. I'm telling you right now, I'm calling it before he'll be in the top 10 as of tomorrow.
Let's see. Top 10 is neg one, so he's only two bag of that.
He'll be in at the end of tomorrow, he'll be in the top 10.
I wonder what
the weather,
I wonder what the weather conditions are supposed to
be.
I'm
giving him, he'll be at minus four.
Blech. I'm trying to find the weather conditions, but I don't want to type a lot on my computer, so I'm not gonna figure it out. If it's anything like today in Augusta, it ain't. He just doesn't have the power to get through the wind. And even though it's not a long course, you still need some juice to get through the fucking wind.
Saturday, it's going to be low of 48, high of 76.
Oh, that's going to be a good day.
Let's see about the wind now.
You're on the right Augusta, right?
Yep. Okay. Yep.
All right, just making sure.
Oh, 5 to 10 mile an hour winds. Oh.
Boys, you're going to be hot in the flags.
It's going to be up.
All right. He has a good chance about making it into top 10 after day three. But I don't see Scheffler fucking this one up. I could see Bryson, but I don't see Scheffler or Homa.
Well, we'll see. I mean, Scheffler didn't shoot that great today either. He only shot par.
Par today when neg three was the best score. And this wind, yeah, I think it's okay.
Yeah, but if you watched him play, he was off his game.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Tiger's off his game, but he has an excuse.
What's his excuse?
He's old.
He's about to die?
He's old, and he has played zero tournaments this year. He's played zero tournaments this year.
He's finished zero tournaments
this year. No, he hasn't played any tournaments. He played one.
He played one,
but he got hurt. Okay. So we're talking about he's tied at 22nd at plus one.
So what you're saying is that he's well rested.
Exactly. So tomorrow,
I mean, your whole theory about Bryson not being able to play 72 holes Tiger Woods hasn't fucking
there's a
finished
big
the tournament.
Difference between the GOAT and the guy who can hit it far. There's a big difference.
Are you saying that's all Bryson's good for? Is the guy that can hit it far?
Am I speaking in riddles?
I mean,
did I stutter?
No, you didn't.
DeChambeau is only good at hitting the ball far. That's why half the time, even though he wins some tournaments, he can't putt the ball to save his damn life.
He putts pretty damn fucking good.
He putts better than me, but that's not saying much.
He putts pretty good.
I've seen...
Better?
I've seen children putt better than DeChambeau.
sure. What, dude, I don't know what you've been watching, but Bryson can putt pretty solid.
Yeah, when he puts it 2 feet from the hole, sure.
I still miss two-footers.
I mean, I too, but we're not pros.
Turns out. That's all I got for the Masters. I can't go super in-depth, but...
Guarantee Tiger in the top 10 at the end of tomorrow.
At the end of day three.
Yep.
That's a Tiger guarantee, a Cody guarantee.
Guarantee it, and then once the Sunday Reds come on, prepare your buttholes. Because Tiger's coming for that ass.
I had to compose myself because I was about to spit my drink. All over the place when you say prepare your buttholes.
Prepare your buttholes because Tiger's coming for that ass.
All right. I'm ready to move on. Finally, something that I can talk about a little bit more in depth. Some NFL news, far and few between, but there is still some big things to talk about. Isaiah Simmons, he is off the board. He goes, out of all teams, he goes to the fucking Giants. Like,
payday.
He didn't get paid.
I know.
1 year, $2 million or some shit. Like,
maybe no one wanted him.
It just blows my freaking mind. Like, no one wanted to pay this guy just a little bit more?
I think there's a lot of teams that are just in, like, they've frozen their bank accounts at this point.
Until after the draft, I think.
Completely.
So. But, like, why not wait? Or
because he got bad advice from his talent agent, I guess. Just saying, like, you might as well just take this deal. No one's offering shit.
What? Yeah, not yet, dude. Like, man, fucking people, dude. Just pissed me off.
Just a bad decision. I think he could have got some more money somewhere else.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. I think so.
But
I'm just trying to pull
some stuff. Playing for the Giants is like playing for the Browns back in like the early 2000s.
Wow. It's where all good players go to die.
Pretty much.
Okay. But I mean, Justin Simmons is still on the board, but it just... As good as a linebacker, I still think Isaiah Simmons is. Being a hybrid type linebacker, just that is the golden ticket for linebackers right now. I mean, Patrick Queen got fucking paid because he's athletic as fuck. And Isaiah Simmons can't. I think he's worth more than $2 million. I don't know what's going on. But staying with the defensive side of the ball, Josh Allen got franchise tagged by the Jags earlier in the offseason and just recently reached a 5-year deal now. So he's got a 5-year extension, $141.25 million for an edge rusher. Fucking dude got paid. Yeah. That's pretty fucking good. Good for him.
Overpaid.
No. Josh Allen's pretty good. This Josh Allen is pretty good. The other Josh Allen is...
Josh Allen's are good.
Well, yeah, sure. It's hard to say, man. It's hard to say.
No, I like Josh Allen as an edge rusher. He's not big in like the name recognition, other than like people going like, "Oh, Josh Allen, you mean
the other Josh Allen,
Buffalo Bills quarterback?" No, Josh Allen, the defensive end. But I like Josh Allen as a player. I don't think he is one of the best defensive ends in the league, though. So, but he did get paid like one for sure.
He's not a defensive end. He's a linebacker.
He plays down.
He's an edge rusher. You can call a defensive end, outside linebacker.
He plays on the line.
The difference is a 4-3 to a 3-4. Either way, he's an edge rusher.
The difference is that you get paid more money if you're an outside linebacker than you do if you're a defensive lineman.
No, an edge rusher is an edge rusher. That's all he is.
Yeah, but he's a defensive lineman.
Sure, why not? Either way, he got fucking paid. The Ravens, they kind of, I guess, filled that role of Odell Beckham Jr. being gone with Deontay Hardy. Kind of like, you know, I guess it's a good pickup for him just because they need a body out there. But I don't think that's going to really increase anything for him. The bad thing is I don't think they have any cap to go get anybody else, though.
You're on your own in this category. I did not see this news.
Yeah. But they're... So did you see the Eagles got CJ Uzma?
I did see that.
So, I mean, that's a good pickup for them because they're a little short on tight end. And
They still got Dallas Goedert, but as you've seen the last few years,
he's getting old.
He's aged.
But I mean, Uzman's
getting older, but also he can't make it through a season. So having someone at least on the team that can fill that role is better than having no one.
This one kind of pissed me off. Rocky Asin of the 49ers. Like, really? We need corners, and we couldn't bring back Rock for the Colts, but no. He had to go sign with the 49ers. So it's a good pickup for the 49ers.
Depth?
Depth. Their third corner off the bench, possibly.
I think this puts some more merit in the fact that the Colts are going to go after a cornerback in the draft.
Probably, yeah. Cowboys got a tackle, so that's good for them. Chuma Aduga.
Bro, I think we talked about this last week in like this same category of news, but he's the tackle that I showed you in those couple games.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He just completely, absolutely was like, I'm going to block you. No, I'm not. And just went the opposite way.
Okay.
The dude, unless something crazy happens, I don't think we'll ever see playing time.
That's right. Now I remember, it's just now showing up as an actual transaction on yesterday.
Yeah, it probably didn't go through.
But other than that, because
the Cowboys probably thought about it for a little bit longer. He's just a body. He's literally like a training camp body slash like he'd be so if one of these like fifth or sixth round like tester tackles or linemen or even an undrafted lineman shows promise, it'd be so easy to freaking just cut Odugwa.
See ya. I've been drinking and we're talking. And weird Aduguas and Uzmas and all these weird enunciations. But I mean, still the big news that anyone and everyone's really talking about is Rashee Rice and his total shit show that's going on in Texas right now.
What an idiot.
It's weird to think about because
it got worse.
It got worse, but I still have a hard time thinking that the Chiefs are even going to do anything about it, because they didn't do shit to Justin Ross, they didn't do shit to Frank Clark, and the NFL
they're not going to do anything.
So
here's the thing: ever since Andy Reid's son fucked up and got a DUI and killed someone, now Andy Reid's all about second chances because of the fact that like, oh, my kid fucked up. I got to give other people second chances, too.
Because, I mean, Rashee Rice gets warrants issued for his arrest earlier this week. And then on Thursday...
Eight warrants.
Eight felony counts. Six counts of collision involving bodily harm. Felonies. One count felony collision involving severe bodily harm. And one felony count of aggravated assault.
Where does the aggravated assault come in?
That's where I'm confused. But that was part of the eight felony counts for the warrants released this week. Rashee Rice did turn himself in on Thursday. He is out on $40,000 bond.
Oh, it's only $40,000?
$5,000 per felony charge.
Ah.
Yeah.
It's not as serious as we thought, boys.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like,
40, really? 40K?
So
that's
the marijuana, they washed away.
Yeah.
The alleged gun charges were washed away.
Well, because there's no evidence of guns actually in the car when the police found it.
And the only thing that's saving him, I think, from a intent to distribute because of the amount of marijuana that was allegedly in the car, they found a $16,000 check in the car. If that's cash, that's now intent to distribute because it's with drugs.
Sure, but I also read something else that the amount was actually just for a misdemeanor anyway, and it would have taken like 120 grams to be a felony count. And so I feel like if you really compare it like 10.8 he had in the car compared to 120,
it's dropping the bucket.
Yeah, it's pretty easy for the cops to just go, we won't even worry about that. I think this all gets taken care of. Maybe Rishi attorney goes out and talks to the people and say, "Hey, let's kind of settle this off the court. Let's get these charges dropped." Type of stuff.
I hope he gets the death penalty.
The death penalty.
I hope he absolutely gets annexed and just absolutely axed out of the NFL. They need to start making examples of these young shitheads.
Listen.
I know it's not going to happen.
That will never.
But someone needs to fucking do it. Because I'm fucking tired of seeing these young guys come in, have good years, have good starts to their season, and then go home and do stupid shit like this in the offseason.
There's only one player that ever got the death penalty, and that's because he's in jail.
Who?
Freaking Henry Ruggs.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Well, this shithead needs to go to jail, which that aggravated assault carries 2 to 20.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I'm telling you right now, I guarantee you he will not face any jail time.
Man,
all going to be probate. This is his first traffic violation ever.
First traffic violation that led to 8 felonies.
Yeah.
Well, when's the last time you heard of that one?
I don't know, but I'm just telling you, last traffic violation ever. Their first traffic violation ever.
You know what? If my first traffic violation ever turns out to be 8 felonies, you bet your ass I'm not fucking getting a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, you also don't have millions of dollars to throw around.
That's true.
And you don't have a $1 million attorney.
And I'm also not...
See, our attorney are those attorneys we get off of park benches or buses.
Saul Goodman.
Yeah. No, Saul Good. No, we can't even afford Saul Goodman.
Sure, we can.
I've seen that. I've seen Better Call Saul. We couldn't afford Saul.
Yeah, we can. We got it. So
he's gonna get literally, like I said, I bet you faces no jail time. I'm thinking 2 to 4 game suspension. I mean, shoot, Frank Clark didn't get anything, right?
6, I think. No, that was Justin.
Yeah.
It was Justin Ross that got like 6 games.
And Justin Ross hit his girlfriend or something.
But I mean, there was a time where Kareem Hunt, all he did was kick his girlfriend in the butt. Or was that Tyreek Hill? Which one of them kicked the girlfriend in the butt in the casino?
That was Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt kicked his girlfriend in the butt in the casino.
He didn't kick her in the butt that hard.
Yeah, and he got the Chiefs like, see ya.
I think that might have been a money play for the Chiefs.
All of a sudden, they start winning Super Bowls and shit. It's like, oh, whoa.
More eyeballs, dog. More eyeballs on you.
So what, you're going to keep felons on the team?
Yeah.
I mean, worked out for the Cowboys.
Exactly. 90s Cowboys. Yeah. 80s and 90s Cowboys.
I mean.
You can't get rid of your stars just because of a little bit of a misdemeanor?
No, but the NFL should. These aren't misdemeanors. They're fucking felonies. I mean, they're kind of stupid felonies. I mean, I've never heard of a collision involving bodily harm being a felony. That's got to be a Texas thing.
It's because of the speed he was going at he hit.
Then they need to say criminal speed, which is a thing in, I know, Arizona.
It's because with the speed he was driving at, meant he had no, what's the word?
No regard for human life.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so therefore.
Or ill regard for human life.
Ill regard for human life. Therefore, while hitting them with his car at such speed, meant he was crashing with intent to harm.
Yeah.
Or some bullshit like that.
He probably was. He's probably just going for it.
And then he left. So they had no idea if he was high. No idea if he was drunk. No idea if anything.
Homeboy was hammered.
Other than the fact that he was there and he did do it. It looks bad.
It does.
But
It's crazy they still don't have anything tingly for hit and run or leaving the scene of an accident. They don't have anything like that.
I think just those are lesser charges they don't care as much about. Because I don't think that gets them anything. Maybe some probation. But he's already going to get probation with all this. Anyway.
He needs to get death penalty.
I wouldn't.
He needs to get the O.J. Simpson treatment. Death.
O.J. Simpson almost killed his wife.
Oh, he did.
No, he never got. Listen.
If the glove doesn't fit,
you must have quit.
Dude, the guy on Twitter before he died said, yeah, I did it.
No, he didn't. That was a fucking joke.
His family since deleted the tweet. It's probably a joke, but I don't care. all of America knows OJ did it. He even wrote a book that said, if I did it.
If I did it,
I would do it the exact way it happened. Oh, wow. It's because he fucking did it.
So, it allegedly did it.
He fucking did
it. And he didn't get the death penalty. He was already retired from the NFL.
I'm aware. I'm just saying he should have.
You can go look. There's been no player that's ever given the death penalty for any crime ever.
They need to. They need to start. I'm tired of this shit. There's a bunch of people that work their ass off for that, and then shitheads like that squander it. They get all the talent in the world, God-given talents, and they go and piss it all away.
You're not telling me anything I don't already know.
Well, you're sitting here saying, oh, no, it's probably okay that they get... You're not over here like,
I'm just...
Kill his career.
I'm telling you... I don't feel like you would be saying this stuff if it was a Colts player or any other team's player.
You want to know why? Because Colts players are high-class acts. I think
the
acts.
Reason you're being so a-holy about it is because it's a Chiefs player.
No. 31 teams I would be given the exact same treatment to.
I don't know about that.
The 32nd team, you're right. I probably would be a little biased, but I look at somebody like this or some... something like this. I'm sorry, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve to be in the NFL. You don't deserve the privilege to play football for millions of dollars to go and act like a fucking idiot.
Out of all the players in the last few years that have done a crime similar to this, or worse,
I would say similar to this.
This is the least bad thing.
I can't recall a player that had an eight felony count warrant in one fucking day.
That's because beating the shit out of your wife only counts as a felony if she fucking reports it.
Then it's not a felony.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just okay. saying. It's not a felony.
Okay,
then.
Guy.
It's not a crime unless you get caught. It's not a crime unless someone says it is.
It's also like not a crime to go and get a masseuse and get yourself jerked off for money and shit.
It's not. I don't have a problem with that.
That's not a crime in most states. That's not a crime in most states.
No, it is. But me, that's not hurting anybody. You're paying for a service. And
I think
you're
hurting some people's
service.
Prides.
Whose?
Masseuses. They were. You know, masseuses work hard.
You know, if it was offered in that parlor, then it's offered. It's a service.
Or now, was it taken in that parlor?
Now, if. He gave the Peyton Manning treatment, just whipped his wiener out right in front of
the That's head. Another thing. We weren't calling for Peyton Manning's head when he played a practical joke on a trainer.
I wasn't calling for his head. No, I'm like, that's wrong.
No, you weren't. That's bullshit.
But I mean, it's also kind of funny. He's like, yeah, hey, look down
the
there.
Get the fuck out of here.
Hey, we had an athletic trainer one time.
All right.
Yeah, just saying. So anyways, moving on. Tom Brady. On a podcast, said that he would not be opposed to a late season comeback.
He's so full of shit.
I think so.
I think his eyes are starting to turn brown because he's so full of shit.
I guess he doesn't have brown eyes. What? No. But so I don't know. I could see it.
Listen,
Linda.
The year we made it a whole year without Tom Brady,
and see what we got.
An entire year. Without Tom Brady, he ain't coming back. He ain't coming back. It's not going to happen. He may still... Oh, I still got
I'm
it.
I'm just saying, there's an episode from last season that you bet me a steak dinner that he was going to come back and play. I still never got that steak dinner.
You never asked for it. We haven't set up a time to go get steak and fucking beer and stogies. Whiskey and stogies.
I don't remember the whiskey and stogies, but...
That's an add-on. You pay for your own whiskey and stogie, but, like, I'll buy you the steak dinner portion.
Okay. I want all
the trimmings. I said whiskey and soda and drinks.
Whiskey and soda and drinks. Well, I didn't know whiskey and soda weren't classified in drinks.
When's the last time you go out and drink whiskey without a soda? You don't drink straight whiskey. I know you.
Not here, I don't.
Exactly.
In Colorado, I do when it's fucking cold.
So, back... When Tom Brady wanted and got ownership of partial ownership of the Raiders, and the Raiders had a shit quarterback.
The Raiders.
I was like, yeah, he's going to come back and play for the Raiders. And I thought it was going to happen for sure when he got partial ownership. But then That didn't happen for some reason. Maybe because Tom looked at the Raiders and go, I don't want to play. Like, I don't favor that.
I'm not trying to get fucking sacked.
Hey, I'm good.
But I mean, that was one of the teams that was brought up in this podcast interview with Tom Brady was the Raiders, the 49ers, and
if Purdy gets hurt.
Patriots. Yeah, that was the scenario if Purdy gets hurt.
Patriots, he'll never go back to the Patriots.
I mean,
that will never happen.
Belichick's not there anymore.
Don't matter. Him and Belichick never really butted heads.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
Like, yeah, Belichick was a hard ass, but when Tom said something, I think Belichick listened.
I don't think so.
Tom did his own shit.
No, I think it was Belichick's way because Tom knew that Belichick's way is what worked for him. That's why when Tom went to Tampa Bay in his first, it was like his first three or four games in Tampa Bay, they had like zero motion. And Tom Brady was having problems reading the defense and throwing the ball. And then they finally started incorporating motion. Will you fucking stop? They finally started incorporating more motion and putting Tom Brady in gun and not under center. And it's like, oh, fuck, yeah, now we know what the fuck's going on. So Tom Brady brought that system to Bruce Arians in Tampa Bay.
Sure. He's done. His last season in Tampa Bay was awful. He knows he's not no good no more. And all those teams, if he jumped on the Raiders at the last second, they're not going to be that good. 49ers, Purdy's not going to get massively injured. And if they do, I don't think the 49ers want to bring Tom Brady in.
Why not? God knows how to win ball games. Joe Flacco's already taken. Tannehill, if he's available. But Tannehill can't go win you a ball game. He can go out there and not lose it.
There's other people out there that they can always get.
I just named like the veteran quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, Tom Brady's been sitting on a fucking couch.
Honestly, if I need a veteran quarterback to go win me a game, I'll take Tom Brady off the couch over Tannehill.
This time
only because Flacco.
He's just talking to get back in the news.
If Flacco was available, sure, I'd take Flacco over Tom Brady.
He's just talking. He's talking. He's back in the news.
He's in the news when he's not talking about football.
He's talking just to talk. He's not gonna ever come back.
God, I hope not. I really don't want to hear it.
Plus, I'm pretty sure when he was also talking about this, he also said, yeah, Patrick Mahomes is gaining me too fast. I might have to make a comeback. I'm like, he's just fucking around to joke around.
I thought other people were saying that.
I don't know. What's rumor? What's real? Who knows? I didn't listen to the podcast.
Neither did I. This was just an article I read.
Yeah.
Speaking of rumors, though, Washington offered three first-round picks to the Bears for their number one overall pick. They offered their second overall pick, their 25 first-round pick, and their 26 first-round pick to the Bears for number one overall. Obviously, the Bears said, get absolute fucked.
I'm taking that haul and walking to the fucking bank.
Yeah.
To move down one spot? Cool. You can have Caleb Williams. You don't have to draft Drake May.
You don't.
You don't have to draft. If you don't like Jake May, don't draft Jake May.
Jalen Daniels there. Jalen
Daniels is there. J.J. McCarthy is there. I mean, people can say what they want to, but okay, fine. You want to pass up J.J. McCarthy? I'm cool with that, too. There, like you said, Jaden Daniels is there.
Yeah.
Fucking, I would go as far as saying Bo Nix is way late. You can now, instead of taking QB1, you can wait till 9. Wait till your 9th pick later on in the draft.
Yeah.
And pick a quarterback after other people have,
shook up the draft board and people panic. Like, oh, fuck.
You go out. I don't know what they necessarily need off the top of my head.
Everything.
I'm sure they need, like, some more linemen, maybe. I know their line was pretty good last year. Maybe they need some defensive help in some sort of way, even though their defense is pretty good. They can use that to get a solid starter that will for sure be good over the next, like, 2 to 3 years, whereas I'm still saying Caleb Williams is going to be a bust.
I think Caleb Williams is going to be a bust. I think that he has a good-ish rookie year. I think he has a rookie year
Not if he goes to Commanders.
I think he has a good year. I think he has a year better than Bryce Young, but significantly less.
I think, honestly,
CJ Stroud.
Yeah, but if you asked me right now, out of all the top three teams, so we're talking the Bears, of course, the Commanders in New England.
Right.
I would say all three of those teams are still in a better position than the fucking Panthers are.
Yeah, I agree. But I mean, none of those are winning positions
for a young quarterback. I think Chicago is for if Caleb Williams is supposed to be this phenomenon.
A generational talent, they
say. Then the Bears are set to win.
But I just don't. I like. Don't get me wrong. I think that Caleb Williams is a fantastic quarterback. I mean, he showed that he has a knack to play football. He's made some very fucking tremendous throws the last couple years at USC. But I think there's something a little wrong with his Hollywood attitude that even NFL players now are already tweeting like, hey, you need to calm the fuck down with some of your shit. So I think he's already going to have problems in the locker room. And that's something that you can't have from your quote-unquote franchise
quarterback. He's going to be Jamarcus Russell.
No, he's not going to be Jamarcus Russell. He's attitude-wise, I think more of a attitude-wise, not talent-wise, attitude-wise, I think more of a Zach Wilson. A guy that comes in just thinks I'm hot shot. I'm calling the plays. I think that's the attitude that. Nah. But
you know who he is?
Who?
He's Money Manziel.
And
talent-wise,
sure. Spark I think he's talent got a slightly better attitude
in the NCAA. Never won a national championship. Never really was a winner, other than the fact that he won some big football games, but never the big game.
What a
acting all tough, going to the NFL.
That's the thing. Like,
and then poof.
Like I said,
garbage.
I think he has a decent first year, and then after that, he might have another year or two on his rookie deal where he's like, okay, maybe there's some life here. But then, yeah, I think he just fizzles out, and nothing comes from it.
Please let the Commanders waste so many draft picks to come up and then have this kid go against two of the best defenses four times in the NFC. But please let him try. Because not only are the Cowboys defense – I'm not going to say Cowboys offense is doing too hot. Cowboys defense didn't get any weaker.
No, I agree.
And Philly's defense got only better.
Yeah. But
Please, Commanders, do that.
They're not going to do it. The Bears are already set. But what this tells me about Washington is that a lot of analysts have been saying Washington and Drake May, and Drake May and his connections there with Kingsbury. And what this tells me is that they now have bought into what I think of Drake May being a show pony, being a guy that he has a strong arm. He has the ability to throw the long ball, but he has no poise in the pocket. He gets happy feet. He misses, and this is, I'm quoting this part from Kurt Warner. He misses the layup throws, the wide open drag routes, the easy swing routes, the easy checkdowns to your running back. He misses those.
So I think Drake May has all the talent abilities like you stated. But for me, Drake May is the guy you draft to sit behind someone and watch for a year or two and then play him.
I agree. Yeah.
Because I think he has all the attributes of being a good quarterback. But
then he'd be
like you said, he's not ready for the big dance to take over a show. Well, the people in the top 4 to 5 all want someone that can take over the right show. Now. So he's not that guy. So I agree with all that.
I don't think any quarterback is ready. I mean, you could make.
I think Dak Prescott was ready. You know what I'm saying?
Jaffel? No. There's a reason why his ass was a 40-round pick.
He was ready.
He was not ready. He had to be ready. He's like, hey, dude, you're in. yes, coach.
1 week out. Hey, you in.
Okay. But no, I think Caleb Williams is the most ready to play right now. That doesn't mean he's the best quarterback.
I don't understand why people are overlooking Bo Nix. I really don't.
Here's why. He's from fucking Oregon. That offense doesn't translate to the NFL. It doesn't.
Stop it.
Bo Nix, here's the thing. I know he didn't come from Oregon. But if Herbert would have panned out better, I would probably be buying in more to Bo Nix. Because I see a lot of those two in very similar fashions. But
Herbert's great.
Could fool me.
You're telling me right now, besides besides Patrick Mahomes, if I was, I'll say besides Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, if I was like, hey, pick a QB.
CJ Stroud, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Joe Flacco last year.
No, it's pick a QB to start a freaking franchise around.
Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson.
You're on crack.
CJ Stroud. Hey,
has Justin Herbert ever been hurt?
I don't know.
No. Joe has twice season-ending injuries.
Yeah. Joe's also been in the Super Bowl.
That is true. See, that is true.
Shithead.
But how much of this is Justin Herbert's fault and how much of this is not having good coaching staff?
Make plays. I don't fucking know what to tell you.
That's crazy. You love Justin
Herbert. I do. I want to like him. I had him winning that division, and that whole fucking team, including Justin Herbert, let me down. Just like Kenny Pickett.
It wasn't just Justin Herbert.
You're right. It was everybody. You're right.
Listen. Then also, people are overlooking J.J. McCarthy, too. He was in a national championship, then won a national championship the next year. J.J.
McCarthy knows how to win ball games.
Yeah, overlooked. He's ready. He's ready to do something.
But when I look at J.J. McCarthy, I see Alex Smith. I see a guy that has arm talent.
Jesus.
Is a good game manager who knows the game of football, who has a good IQ, but I don't think he's a guy that can put a team over the top. He hasn't shown me that he can make his team better. Michigan had a lot of good things around him, including a fantastic defense. So, do I think J.J. McCarthy's a good quarterback? Sure, yeah. Do I think he can come in and make some of these teams better, especially those teams that don't have a quarterback there in the top four picks? Yeah, because he's better than what they got. But if you're asking me, do I think J.J. McCarthy is a Super Bowl quarterback? As of now, no, I don't.
Oh, Michael Penix is getting looked over too.
I don't.
He threw very well last year, like pinpoint throwing.
Penix?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind Penix. I think Penix has a lot of upside.
He did get injured though. That is one not so great thing.
Yeah.
And that national championship
game. Yeah.
Gosh, who is it that I keep forgetting his name? He was freaking Florida State's quarterback.
Florida State.
Is that Benson? Is Benson his last name? No, that's the running back. Gosh dang it. I'm looking for it right now.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Jordan Travis. If he didn't tear his ACL and he gets season-ending injury, he would be top two or three, too.
Well, we were saying that about Hendon Hooker last year.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So what are we talking about?
I still think if in the first two... In the first game or two, if Daniel Jones is still doing Daniel Jones shit, they're going to put Hendon Hooker in.
Hendon Hooker's in Detroit.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Who am I thinking of that went to
I don't know. Who's behind Jones in New York?
Well, then no, that's not going to happen because Goff is still going to be the starting quarterback.
If Goff didn't have the year that he had, oh, fuck yeah. There would have been a quarterback competition this year. But Goff had a good year. Dang. So I don't think there's going to be a competition this year.
So he's still looking at a whole year sitting on the bench?
I think so.
Dang. Yeah. I mean, that's good for him.
I think it's good for them. Or good for him.
It's good for them both. Probably. He's not thrown in the fire instantly.
I don't think Goff will re-sign. I think they'll let Goff go.
I'm telling you, Jordan Travis, he was awesome until he got hurt.
But I mean, if you're going to do that for an injured quarterback, why not get Joe Milton out of Tennessee, who played behind Hendon Hooker?
Because Joe Milton isn't as good as Travis.
Sure, why not? I don't care. Joe Milton.
I don't understand why Spencer Rattler's so high on boards.
Dude, he's absolute fucking garbage.
It's a hype train, dude. I'm telling you.
He's
I would rather draft Sam Hartman than Spencer Rattler.
Jesus.
Actually, honestly, there's quite a few people I would draft under Sam Hartman. I think there's
something about a quarterback that moves teams so many times, especially in college, just drives me nuts. It's a lack
of Nix did that too.
It's a lack of commitment to me, and it just says like you're afraid of competition in a way. So
he didn't mesh with that specific offensive coordinator.
Now that could be, but it's just like really.
Are you talking about Spencer Rattler?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Sam Hartman.
No.
Because I'm pretty sure Sam Hartman also moved.
Talking about Rattler.
Yeah. No, Rattler.
But I don't think.
No, thanks. I mean,
Spencer Rattler just, he's another Kenny Pickett, I think. He's
I don't even think he's that good either. I don't think he's that good.
He's someone that's going to get hyped up. Some team's going to draft him. He's obviously not going to start his rookie year. But I'm sure he'll get his opportunity depending on where he does get drafted. And it'll be a fucking bust. And he's going to throw to the wrong team more than he does his own fucking team.
But I think you're right. Let's go back to that was a big sidebar. Drake May is teams are finally understanding. Hey, it's another UNC quarterback.
Drake May.
Chill out.
UNC. Okay, yeah.
UNC.
Yeah.
North Carolina.
I know. I got UNC and then USC. I was confused because USC, shithead, and yeah, UNC. But no, I look at Drake May, I see Mitch Trubisky.
I look at Drake May and I just see Sam Howell 2.0.
Well, stop. There's nothing wrong with Sam Howell. Sam Howell looked pretty good until he wound up on his back about every other fucking play.
Well, they haven't changed their O-line.
That's true.
So he's just going to jump in and be Sam Howell 2.0.
Nah, I think Sam Howell, he needs an opportunity. I forget where he went. He's playing back. I want to say he went to Seattle. I think he got traded to Seattle.
That'd be a good spot for him. He could actually start there.
No, they're going to play Geno.
Fuck Geno. Geno's terrible.
But for some reason, we talked about it. I just can't remember now where he got traded to. But I thought it was Seattle.
Seattle.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
He's better than Geno Smith right now.
I think so. But I think they're going to ride Geno Smith early and just see what they get.
Just literally think you'll see the same results from Drake May that you saw from Sam Howell. Maybe at a discounted rate.
I think at a worse rate because Bienemy's not there anymore. I mean, yeah, they got Kingsbury, but Kingsbury's not Bienemy.
Bienemy
made Sam Howell look fucking good.
That's another big reason why I think Commanders really want to get in that number one spot. Because Kingsbury just wants to get the same guy he had the entire time. So we can run the exact same offense.
He just wants to run fucking Kyler Murray 2.0.
Yeah.
Little shirt baby, Kyler Murray. But let's move on. We've been on this topic for a little bit. So, obviously, we talked about the draft and some, you know, maybe some trades for some picks. But I think there's going to be some trades for some players because T. Higgins is on the radar for the Steelers to make a trade for. You mentioned to me, and we looked it up. Brandon Ayuk is on the Steelers radar for a trade. So, it looks like the Steelers are in the market to trade for a wide receiver. And I think that would be a good thing. I guess a good time would be that in the draft for the Steelers to trade away a draft pick and get one of those guys.
I think also maybe Denver was trying to move up as well. You said
that they were desperate. I hadn't heard anything. Elaborate on that.
I had read an article that said multiple sources, obviously unnamed.
Obviously.
Multiple sources had said that Denver is desperately trying to move up to get a quarterback, and even some of their offers have been trading picks, plus some said even as far as Patrick Surtain was on the chopping block inside of a trade, and that'd be pretty crazy.
Trade away one of the best corners in the game.
And rumor has it they're looking for JJ. So that seems kind of crazy to trade up a lot.
JJ McCarthy's would fit very well with Sean Payton. I think.
I know it would, but give up one of the best cornerbacks in the league.
Yeah. Hey, franchise quarterback's really important right now. Where are the Broncos drafting currently? Do you know?
9, I think.
9. Ugh. I think McCarthy would be close. They don't have to trade all the way up to 4. McCarthy's not going at 4. I think if
they're 12.
I think if they trade up to 6 or 7, they can still get McCarthy. I think 7, 8, 6, 7, 8, they probably still get McCarthy.
PFF has McCarthy getting drafted by the Vikings.
At what?
11.
Yeah. So, yeah, for sure, I think them going up to 7 or 8 and trading Patrick Surtain, at that point, I think that's a fair trade. Just trade your first-round pick and Surtain for... So,
just at looking at this, they could flip-flop their first-round Patrick Surtain to the Falcons, which need a cornerback.
They do.
Easy.
Yeah. That would be really good for both the Falcons and... Because they'd flip their first.
The only other team
and
that...
Pat Surtain, and then probably like a third or fourth on top.
The only other team that needs a cornerback within those spots... I'm not going to count DB. I'm just going to go for cornerbacks. Is the Chargers.
The Chargers.
And they're 5.
Yeah.
That's
reaching though a little bit.
4, the Cardinals need a cornerback too.
Yeah, the Cardinals need everything.
But if you sense someone being desperate... You ain't just going to settle for a little bit.
Going to give him the draft day special with Kevin Costner.
100%.
Dude, that's a good movie.
When the blood's in the water, you go fishing.
Dude, that time when he's getting all his picks back, and he's like, I'm sorry, that offer is no longer on the table. Yeah, I want all my picks back. And David Putney, just because I fucking feel like it. Say dill, you pancake, you neat son of a bitch.
That's a great movie. It's a good movie.
But yeah, I do. I think this draft is going to be exciting to watch. It's definitely
either going to be super exciting or super let down.
They're just going to run through the first round. I'm like, fuck! I don't think so. I think there's going to be trades. I don't know about I think there's going to be trades in the first round. There's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks, and there's a lot of teams that have excess, like T. Higgins.
I would say like 3... 3 out of these 5 top 5 guys will be good.
And there's so many off the linemen. A lot of these guys that want off the linemen, they could trade back and get more and their guy.
Still. There's also some really good offensive linemen going in the second and third and fourth round.
Yeah, for sure.
That are still good. It's just not as good as like Joe Alton.
Joe Alton or Fashanu. That guy out of Oklahoma, which they have the Cowboys taken.
Guyton.
Graham.
I'll take a lot of people over Guyton.
Well, we're a little bit over our normal time, so I'll save my topic that I wanted to talk about for another time. But that pretty much wraps it up. We got the draft in a week and a half, so next week it'll probably be a lot of mock draft kind of things and what new news got shaken up going into the draft, and then the following week will be basically a draft recap and kind of how the teams sit. And the week after that, we can kind of start breaking down some of these divisions and how they're going to start looking in our way too early preseason predictions. But that pretty much wraps it up for me, dude.
Yeah, I would like to thank everybody for dealing with my sniffles and coughs this week. I have fell a bit under the weather.
Under the weather.
Hopefully that doesn't bother everybody too much, and I appreciate it.